After all of that carry-on, it is time for us to settle down for the show.
That security captain seemed a bit eager. Who hired them?
I think Alvin is being very cautious, what with the Marlinists and the Xenophiles and the Federation.
Not to mention the Dawn's agents, though I'm sure they needed to be as though they did. I mean, how small do they think Bargoids are? And why would one be hiding in my...
Knickers! I pinched my script upside down.
We're in zero gravity. Just put your chair on the ceiling.
Good thing I'm wearing my Velcro trousers.
No, you mean velvet.
No, Velcro. Lets me stick to anything.
I think we should just stick to the script.
It's all gone to muggery. Fake one spotted.
Battle boxes, battle bravely to your box. Post box, that is.
Change my cockpit. That's handy, Andy.
Dastardly Dawn attempts lave takeover by the back door.
Who didn't do it of epic proportions? We haven't got a clue, though.
Atrus 5060 appears to have woken from his slumber.
I'm confused. There's hot pit news.
And I've got more than a mouthful to chew over from community news.
First tonight, thanks to Commander Fosdyke, Hutton have uncovered fake ones. We all know there's nothing like the real ones. When someone drops the fake ones on the table in front of you, there's the initial joy at seeing them, but then the slow realization that what you're seeing is a product not of hard work, healthy trucking and dedication to PWP, but of getting quick results whatever the cost. Yes, we're talking about mugs. Commander Fosdyke, celebrity freelance photographer and digital artist, was called to Antony de la Roche Gateway Station in the G123-16 system to some rather exclusive quarters to photograph Tina from Spade Security, relaxing after a busy shift. Tina has become a minor social media celebrity over recent weeks, and until recently has shunned face-to-face contact, but that didn't stop eagle-eyed Fosdyke's eyes being drawn to something very interesting in her bedroom. Yes, on her desk was a fake Hutton mug. Not one of the glorious metallic mugs that warm your beverage in frameshift, but a dodgy knockoff. Discreetly inquiring where she had had her mug made, Fosdyke was given an icy stare before being asked to turn his recording equipment off and vacate the premises. It didn't go unnoticed that the floor of her quarters bore an awfully close resemblance to shipboard smugglers' lockers, and computer screens showed order details for shipments being sent throughout the galaxy. Is Tina a persona, a nom de plume, a pseudonym, or a sobriquet crafted to hide some significant wrongdoings? Is she the driving force behind the plethora of fake muggery going on? Mods is a serious condition. Mug ownership deficiency syndrome was thought to have been eliminated throughout the galaxy after Hutton's hot mess brought supplies to every station, but this blatant fakery reopens the risk of it rearing its ugly head once more. Hutton truckers are on high alert for agents of Spade. If you're in receipt of a dodgy Hutton mug, identified by not actually warming up in supercruise, and of course the handle being the wrong way up, please contact Hutton security right away. In the meantime, hops have been sent to the G123-16 system to try and locate Tina, but as of yet, her whereabouts are unknown.
Military leaders across the galaxy have had to put invasion plans on hold, postpone defensive actions, and stand down from Red Alert this week as contemptuous couriers conspire to confuse them. Spider-Man Games have heroically defeated three of the four horsemen of the Kickstarter apocalypse to get their battle boxes sent out to eager generals and warmongers across the galaxy this week. They amassed allies to defeat fundraising, used their superior tactical brains to outwit fake copyright claimer, thwarted printing company, and are now squaring up to their final apocalyptic foe, the Courier. The final boss in this epic challenge to get Battle Cards Battle Box to you is Winged Wellies, Courier of the Dogs. The Courier has brought in the best mercenary non-delivery drivers armed with While You Were Out cards and super long helping hands so they can ring your doorbell from 2 metres away and get back in their hauler before you make it to the airlock. They have been winding up their throwing arms to ensure your parcel overshoots your garden and lands at the door of your neighbour two doors down. You know, the one with the gigantic dog who likes to guard and sometimes eat parcels. Using SatNav lottery software, they may deliver to your planet, but equally may deliver to someone called Unreadable Squiggle on a planet of a similar name 3,000 light years away. Winged Wellies are so bad. Oh, hang on, that's the door. I'll be right back. Hi. Yeah. Oh, thank you very much. Oh. Okay, crap. Help, can someone sound the emergency battle bung machine? My battle box just arrived.
We're pleased to be able to confirm the rumour that Changing Rooms is coming back, resuming after the lull since the millennium. Yes, we know, the millennium didn't start until 3301. We're not savages, but this sounds better. And this time there's not a whiff of MDF, no ruffled cuffs, and not a glimpse of Charlie's. Oh no, that was the other one, wasn't it? What I mean to say is that we hope no one will be making a tit of themselves. Commander George has brought style into the world, or rather galaxy, of interior design, namely your cockpit, in the form of Elite Dangerous HUD mod, EDHM, now up to version 1.31. With this mod, you have 15 cabin lighting colours, 10 shield colours, 6 ship hologram colours, 3 target reticules, and 3 distributor combos. You can also dim the HUD and lighting to your preferences. Currently, the colours are not user editable, but that's planned for a future release. The author says, if you haven't heard about EDHM before, it's essentially a HUD modding technique on PC that doesn't require any XML changes. This means we can change the colour of HUD elements without the nasty side effects of discoloured portraits and icons on the radar. It also means we have more precise control over the application of colour to each element. We've also dimmed the lights in the cockpit that shine directly in your face, and by request of the miners, reduced the intensity of warning lights when in close proximity to asteroids. The mod also enables coloured lighting effects in the cabin. The ambient light really changes the mood of the pilot's environment, from relaxing blue to TIE fighter red, and lots of other colours in between. Now, we at Hutton think this looks like a very exciting project, and the Pilots Federation have said that they are fine with the mod, so long as it doesn't provide an advantage over other players or mod their ARX-related assets. Not provide an advantage? If having the coolest set of colours and soft, sexy lighting isn't an advantage, I don't know what is! You can find information on Reddit, and we've created an easy-to-follow link. It's bit.ly/pimpmyhud. As Commander Wotherspoon might say, the community work out how to change all of the colours nicely so the Pilots Federation doesn't have.
Lave Station has been all a Twitter this week after one of their tech monkeys mysteriously melted. Eddie Lee Wise of Eddie Lee Wise and Sons, plus his daughters, good friends to our sister station and Taylor amongst the stars, launched an appeal for an emergency spare tech monkey immediately, reaching out to anyone with the right number of digits to push all the buttons.
"We need help,"
he said.
"Our tech monkey's looking a little rough. He's gone to pieces, quite literally, and we haven't got a spare monkey in our cupboard. Are you the kind of commander who loves mashing buttons on a Tuesday in the hopes that it all goes right on the night? If so, Send your application to Eddie Lee Wise and Sons, plus me daughters, and we'll give it the attention it warrants. Right, sign here, sir, under the bit that says Lave Radio can't be held responsible for disintegration at the hands of Camorra pirates. Just a formality.
Early indications are that regular Tech Monkey Troop, Ben and Norm, are both okay and not needing reconstituting from a big puddle on the floor. In suspicious circumstances, Dastardly Don Antonacci was the first to volunteer his services as emergency broadcast simian, leading many to speculate that it was indeed the Don who melted the team member to leave an opening. With recent publication by the Pilots Federation claiming that they, and not Station Commander Stroud, were responsible for the annual LaveCon event going all hollow, there are rumours that behind the scenes, the Don is attempting a sneaky coup of the system. Investigations have reopened into a series of disappearances of regulars from the airwaves, including Second Technician Fozza, Station Commander Stroud, and others. Are they being kept in the Dastardly Don's dreadful deep dingy dungeon? Are they incarcerated in his foul fiend's oubliette? Will they survive his not-so-tender touch, and have they been sent to Jurassic World to fight their way clear of genetically engineered mega-monsters from aeons past? We're yet to find a reporter brave enough to go and investigate. But we've advised our sister station that the sinister ministrations of the Don are cause for consternation, and they should think long and hard before letting him loose on their buttons.
Was it the engineer in the shipyard with a monkey wrench? Or Mrs. Peacock in the docking bay with the engineer? Or maybe Mr. President in the bedroom with an Imperial Lady of the Night? Current shenanigans in the Federation are centering around a big game of musical blame. Fingers are being pointed, there is more denial of Egypt, and everyone seems out to save their own skins. President Hudson of the Federation is, as of yet, not directly implicated in anything to do with the murders. We'd stick the word allegedly on everything if we remembered, but appears perfectly content for everyone, from hardworking engineering crews to fleet admirals, to take the blame for absolutely everything. With the death penalty still an option in the Federation, in fact, as far as we can tell, the only place that isn't in use is an independent space where all the civilized people live. Everyone involved in Starship One is scrambling to save their own skins, and in a gnarly plot reminiscent of the most convoluted Miss Marple's tales, attempting to pin the blame on just about everyone else they can remember. Where were they at the time of the incident? Having their hair done? Were their names on the button of the sign on the bottom of the signed order? Must have been a fake. Do they realise exactly who had the most to gain from the assassination? Current rumours are that the Federation Inner Circle, all, funnily enough, family members of the incumbent president, are attempting to link the years-old disaster to the far more recent NMLA attacks on stations. They're looking into whether, like the Empire, they can find a popular engineer to pin the blame onto, but, as of yet, they all appear to be squeaky clean. Apart from the Sarge, who gave the interviewer a dirty look before getting him a flying zero-G headlock and asking him if he felt lucky, punk. We still think the Sarge is innocent, just a very, very angry man. Commander Witherspoon and his agent sidekick, Beetle Jude, will be getting to the bottom of this. Their office wall looks like one of Spider-Man's webs, with string-linking images, pictures, maps and objects from edge to edge. Of course, staring at it like one of those magic eye pictures isn't going to tell us what the blazes is going on. But for the fourth week running, we're still convinced that President Hudson of the Federation did it. All we're missing is the evidence.
Good evening, trackers. Does this thing still work? Good Lord, it's been far too long since I had to dial into this frequency. Calling all trackers, HS5060, reporting in with dire news on the return of the Thargoids to the Witch Head Nebula. It would seem the nasty bugs have launched a surprise attack once more after Operation Ida, with the IDA, has been enjoying their success in repairing all the damaged stations in the galaxy from the last time the Thargoids invaded. The invaders are present too, in multiple systems throughout the nebula, and they need to be pushed back into the black. Aegis is nowhere to be found, and the Alliance Defence Force seems to have run away as well. It's up to us independent commanders once again, trackers, so we're calling on the redeployment of Haxwing to join AXI, or is that AXI, and its allies in the effort to drive the Thargoids out of the Witchhead Nebula once again. Battles are already underway in Onoros, Lembas, Haki, Wellington and Shenvi. Good luck out there, truckers, and don't forget, do what Flossie says, as she's been paying an awful lot more attention than I have. For the mug.
Incoming encrypted transmission. Decrypting. Decryption complete.
Stand by for a message from Haxcom Actual.
Sir? Sir? Wake up, sir? Sir, we have a Thargoid alert. Atrus 5060 just sent it over.
What? We haven't seen anything from them since February. What is it?
The Witchhead Nebula, sir.
Witchhead's been crawling with them the whole time, Corporal. I'm going back to bed.
No, sir. This is different. The Alliance Expeditionary Pact is seeing a massive increase in activity, and they're afraid this is the start of a new invasion.
Okay, Riley. Hand that bulletin over. Right. Okay. All right, let's get an announcement put together. Wait, Riley? Why is the recording light on?
Oh, well, I was just trying to let you sleep as long as possible, and I was getting everything ready before I woke you.
Okay, Haxwing. Time to shake off the rust. Thargoid activity in the Witchhead Nebula is on the rise, and we need to stomp it back down before Tharg gets any ideas. As usual, Aegis is AWOL, so it's up to us to take this on. Hunt out non-human signal sources in the Witchhead systems of Onoros, Lembas, Haki, Wellington, and Shenvi, and sell off your combat bonds at Golden Stag and Onoros. With all the permit-locked systems around the Witchhead Enclave, it can be tricky to get in unless you have a ship with some jump legs. A 25 light-year jump range should be sufficient. You can always jump there in another ship and have your AX ship ferried in if needed. If Tharg hasn't made any changes, Threat 3 and 4 signal sources will have scouts, and Threats 5 and higher will have large numbers of scouts, interceptors, or a mix of the two. Good hunting, Haxwing. Watch your 6 and keep your eyes on the signal sources.
Haxcom message complete. Defend the mug.
Encrypted transmission complete.
It sounds like Lou's a little under the weather today. So I'm standing in for him this week. What a week he's chosen to be absent without leave. First, Operation Wolf Hunt. Now, what was supposed to happen was an expansion from Wolf to Wolf. What actually happened was that the political team misfired a little, helped along by a two-day BGS holiday, where they lost the calculator. Instead, we ended up in Narensis. Narensis isn't a nice high-tech system with beautiful stations and lots of juicy outfitting. But it is somewhere that we wouldn't mind taking, mainly because there's absolutely no one else there and no one has stuck a flag in it yet. So, in Alvin's name, we're going to plant the Hutton flag and add it to our large list of little systems. War it is. And what's war good for? Taking influence. Give it a few days and then break out your best battle cowl. Talking of battle, over in Barnard Star, we appear to have lots of bad people doing bad things and have been pushed into civil unrest. So anyone who wants a warm-up gig before we get to Narensis, go and sharpen your skills on pirates over in BS. Avik is running a little low, so needs a bit of a boost. And Wise is a little high and needs a good smackdown. Over in Hanky's colon, we've got over one outbreak, but due to a rash of not washing hands properly and face masks with your schnoz hanging over the top, there's a pending one over in Pythias. Influence over in EL Procol Centauri and Hutton Moon is looking a little low, so if there are any commanders inbound with data, it would all be much appreciated. As usual, for detailed instructions, look on our Discord channel or ping the Hanky.
It's a busy time for community-led activities, so sit, make sure you're sitting comfortably, and I'll begin. Sunday saw the sixth race in the Elite Races 8WD SRV Endurance Championship. The race was a 92km sprint between Selberb Escape and Custo Barracks on Skinfaxi 3D. In first place, it's no surprise to see Shea Blackwood, who finished at 15.52. Second was Skur, 4.50 behind, and third was Donald Anderson at 6.09 behind. It was a brutal course and seven pilots failed to finish, leaving the route strewn with the debris of their attempts to cheat fate, and if there had been any atmosphere, it would have been tainted with the faint whiff of disappointment. Despite that, there are still some unexplained stains on the dusty ground. A highlights video is promised soon, TM, and this race means that Shea Blackwood has opened up an unassailable lead over his closest rivals, Alec Turner, Skur and Osashis, and, spoiler alert, will inevitably be taking home the gold at the end of the championship. Alec Turner was disappointed that Shea Blackwood would not be getting a close-up view of what a silver medal looks like, so Alec offered a peek at his. As consolation prize, Alec Turner was awarded first prize in the Take Pictures of You Getting Second Prize competition, with SPV FA, okay, so it was for a community group shot, but we're sure we can see him looking at the silverware in the cockpits of his SRV. The last race in the series takes place on Ninsun on Sunday, 25th of October. It's a short 68km sprint, but it's now been extended, so they have to go there and back, with the final points being split between the two halves. Details will be in the Buckyball Racing Club 3306 Discord channels. Next, we have a report from Commander Dan DeLion on the inaugural Newbie Tuesday. On the 13th of October 3306, Paladin Consortium premiered its Newbie Tuesday series aimed at giving players new to PvP a crash course in combat, starting with the basics. This inaugural event drew a good amount of participants who had varying ideas of what to expect. Our teacher for this series is Commander Mike Metallic of Warriors of Word, who have been friends with Paladin Consortium. We would like to thank Mike for his enthusiasm and determination in introducing them to the wonderful world of PvP. The evening started with an introduction, getting to know the commanders and their ships before they were paired off ready for the sparring to begin. Much gunfire was exchanged and valuable skills were learned, from ensuring module priorities were set correctly, to boost turning, and tips on how to effectively engineer a ship to be effective in combat. With the first iteration of Newbie Tuesday a success, Paladin Consortium would like to invite all to the next session, which will be on the 10th of November 3306. To sign up, head to our Discord at bit.ly/palcondiscord. Until then, fly safe, commanders. Here's a report of the state of play in Operation Wolf Hunt from Graham MK. Operation Wolf is paused. We have expanded to Renensis and are pending war. It will go live tomorrow. Win we stay, lose we leave. The faction we matched with was at 2.79% yesterday, so that was lower than the 3.65% we had LP at. The screwy BGS ticks over the weekend hampered our plans. There are no player factions there, so we're having it. TLDR, war tomorrow, gonna win it, and then go for the system. Then resume Operation Wolf. And even more from the Buckyball Racing Club 3306. Here's early notice that on the 21st and 22nd of November, it'll be time once again for the Speedball. Speedball 4, where, to steal from the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, you learn that there is an art to flying, or rather a knack. The knack lies in learning how to throw yourself at the ground and miss. 3 years ago, Commander Primetime Casuals found that high G worlds can break the speed limiters built into ships, and he achieved over 9,000 metres per second in normal space during the first speedball. The event location is HR6164 ABC 1, a beautiful world of 3.3G, just a short way from Sol. Details are in the forums. There's a link in the race's Discord channel, but we've made a short link to make it easy to find. That's bit.ly/speedball4. That's the number 4. Coming up in just over a month's time, Commander Yannick tells us about Expedition Mercury's Wings DSSA Deep Space Support Array, which starts on November the 22nd and lasts until January the 17th next year. An expedition from the amazing canyons of Pomish in the Bubble all the way to the far side of the galaxy, through over 60,000 light years of beautiful space and on a voyage to explore new star systems, all the while taking the DSSA's new fleet carrier Shepherd's Dream to its resting place in the outer Scutum Centaurus arm in the galactic northwest. This expedition will be open to commanders from all platforms of PC, Xbox and PS4. Explorers who are new to expeditions are very much welcome to join us on this journey, as are all the veteran explorers, adventure seekers and downright crazy pilots. This expedition will take place within the Fleetcom private group and within private groups for the Xbox and PS4 platforms. It is recommended to have a 40 to 50 light year range for this expedition, although it will be possible to complete it with only 30 light years of jump range. We've set up a link to make it easy for you to find. .ly/Mercury's Wings. That's Mercury's Wings, but since there's no punctuation, it looks like Mercury Swings. And that marks the end of the marathon list of community organised events past, present and future that we know about. If we've missed any of that, you've seen or you're organising your own, get in touch and we'll be glad to include your event in our news.